I recently decided to take a trip to the airport. I didn't have a flight booked and I wasn't picking anybody up. I was going to the airport just to look at the airport, to admire the architecture there, actually. Given the generic look of most airport terminals today, you might be surprised to know there was a time back in the jet-set 1960s when airport design was cutting edge. So I ventured out to JFK International with Alistair Gordon, the author of the book Naked Airport, A Cultural History of the World's Most Revolutionary Structure, so we could try to get a fresh look at two iconic 1960s terminals. We started with Terminal 6, designed by the architect I.M. Pei. Here we are at dusk at JFK International Airport in Terminal 6, which I guess is the sixth of six now, or is there a seventh?
It was actually the seventh of what they called the Seven Wonders of Idlewild, or JFK. But I love trying to kind of archaeologically dissect what went on here, because every airline would have its own terminal and hire its own architect, and every one of them would be different. You know, you had Eastern Airlines, you had American Airlines, which had this huge stained glass window. You had Pan Am, which was the floating parasol roof, which seemed to defy everybody's concept of what a building could be.
This, I guess, is probably the second best known and second most architecturally distinguished terminal at JFK, the famous Saarinen sort of wing shape,
right,
being next door. But tell us about this, which is far more restrained, if not dignified, than that famous Saarinen terminal.
Well, there was a competition originally to go back to about 1958-59. The Port Authority needed another terminal for three extra airline companies that wanted their own terminals. So they held a competition, and I.M. Pei, who was very young at the time, I think he was like in his late 20s, he won the competition by submitting this very elegant, sort of timeless Greek temple, you know, pared-down Greek temple in a very modernist kind of vein. So his idea was really, you know, he was very self-conscious about it, that he knew he was competing with this extraordinarily famous piece of architectural sculpture next door by Eero Saarinen. So he wanted to do the opposite, and he wanted to create an island of conspicuous serenity around which, you know, people would be able to come and feel a sense of ease and comfort. He made the ceilings very high. He studied, you know, Grand Central Station and other successful train stations that had this, you know, where you could really have quite a crowd but still feel you had human space around you.
Well, and if anyone has ever been to any of the theaters at Lincoln Center in New York, this is like a better version of Lincoln Center, essentially.
It's a much better version of Lincoln Center. It doesn't have that kind of kitschy edge to it. I'm amazed how well it's held up and how it really is truly timeless in a sense. And then, of course, he used, instead of these very sculptural columns that he had originally designed, they decided to do these very simple Doric, I call them jet Doric columns. And then, of course, they're 16, which is the same numbers were used in the Parthenon. So it's, you know, he was very literally trying to kind of evoke the serenity of a Greek temple.
Then we took a walk next door to the famous Eero Saarinen TWA terminal. As we approached the building, a deep purple light was beaming through the windows and made it look like a spaceship that had just landed in the JFK parking lot. We could only look at it from the outside. The terminal's been closed to the public since 2001, but it was recently declared a landmark building. It looks, even in its, you know, semi-abandoned, empty state, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. And it barely touches the ground. I mean, it only touches the ground in about 3 or 4 points. You know the story about the morning he came up with this, I mean, I'm sure it's apocryphal, but it's a good story. If it was in the summer, his wife had brought him his grapefruit for breakfast, and he was slicing it in different ways into quarters and peeling the grapefruit skin back in different ways and twisting. And then he came up with this concept of the four kind of flaps coming together, separated by these long rib-like skylights.
And what's great is it's not just a plain box with a fabulous thing inside or a fabulous box with plain things inside. You see by standing right outside here, which as far as we can go, that it continues all the way out, that this massive front window is canted out at, I don't know, 30 degrees or something, which is, you know, they went all the way.
Well, the idea was, the Saarinen's idea was to have no point, you know, no right angle, no point where the eye stopped or hooked, or even the sense of the body flowing through the space. And that was his idea of imitating the feeling of jet space, of jet time, you know, this new sort of space-time continuum, you know, that we were entering in 1959, 1960, and this was an expression of it. And that's why I think it'll go on. I think another 100 years, this will be, you know, a major architectural landmark because of that. Maybe we'll be getting zapped around by laser.
I don't think we need to wait 100 years for that.
Oh, it's already there, yeah.
Alistair Gordon, thank you very much for showing us around JFK today.
Well, thank you for coming out to the airport.
Alistair Gordon is the author of Naked Airport, A Cultural History of the World's Most Revolutionary Structure. To see some images of JFK Terminals 5 and 6, you can visit our website, studio360.org.